This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb, when you drive away, are you assured that you're going to have oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle. And that sounds like something that you would jump on, Bill Patterson.
Well, it would. In fact, I need a set of tires, but I don't want to buy the car to go with it right now.
Actually, but if you look at it in the long run, you'll end up having to have sets of tires probably ever, 50,000 miles or something like that. Especially if you take them over to Bud's and let him switch them around and make sure you're not wearing them out.
Well, that's true, and I'll be glad to let you sign that check.
Which one? I'll sign anything if you want me to sign your name to it. All right, big boy. You and I have known each other for a long time, and we've had a lot of fun over the years. And I guess we began back when you were working with the Daily News Journal, and you were just full of vim and vigor, and you were going to conquer the world with all these great stories that you would put out that a lot of them I would feed to you back then.
Well, I did depend on the sheriff's office for information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was going through some stuff this week in preparation for this big event of today.
And you mean you actually prepared for it? Well, so you're the one that did
that. Well, I was... You know, you asked me to be on, and I had something I thought would be interesting. Uh-huh. And, you know, you could even have a segment of your program. And I don't know if you have a reverberation machine in here for great moments in Rutherford history.
We actually have drums, but I don't think he's here today.
Well, you know, back in the spring, I noticed the obituary of James Robert Ward.
Yes.
And you knew James Robert for millenniums, I guess, a long time.
A county commissioner for ages, really was from Las Casas area.
Las Casas. Uh-huh. And he was chairman of the law enforcement committee.
Yes, yes.
And I remember the event of the wheel tax officer and the car dealers.
I remember that.
Well,
yes.
That was a big event. In the spring of 1980, James Victory, who had been, was it the chief in Laverne?
In Laverne, you're right. Uh-huh.
Was hired to be, I think he was the county's first wheel tax officer.
Yes, he was.
And so he went around looking for wheel tax violators. And back then, this was 1980, I think you still had the sticker you put on the windshield. Mm-hmm. And he found a car with a dealer plate at Eagleville, at the Eagleville High School, and cited the driver. And for this, and then it was sort of a light bulb moment for James Robert, because the law enforcement committee had a special called meeting on a Thursday night in, in May 1980, and decided that all the car dealers will have to buy wheel tax stickers. And that was not well received with the car dealers. In fact, I think I think that was on a Thursday. And I remember on a Monday, the following Monday, the car dealers had a meeting there at Jackson Chevrolet. Mm-hmm. And they decided, we're agin it. We're going to fight it if we have to get an injunction to do it. I remember Jim Jackson saying that this was, just not right. It was not that Wheel Tax Act was not meant to tax car dealers.
I think they were right.
Well, stay tuned. Anyway, I got that, and I got my article ready, and this was on that Monday morning, and then I stopped by the hangout for all the locals, that is to say, the jail.
Yes. On 400 West Main
400
Street.
400 West Main Street, where there was always a story brewing. And there back in the back room where the detectives meet was James Robert. And you might have been back there, too. I know Sheriff Snell was then. There were a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. And I told James Robert that, the car dealers are going to fight this. And James Robert announced unequivocally that, quote, the car dealers have been cheating the county for 10 years.
Uh-oh.
Unquote.
Told directly to the mouth of the South.
And I thought, wow. And so, and he didn't take it back either. And I had that quote appeared in the story that day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the headline. It was just within the story. Mm-hmm. And at the next law enforcement committee meeting, Harley Irwin, who was a used car dealer then, mm-hmm. came to the meeting and asked James Robert if he stood by that quote. And he said, now, there are a lot of people in that room, and I don't remember saying that. Of course, all those people in the room remembered you saying that.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said he didn't remember saying that, but if there was offense taken, he apologized, mm-hmm. and that they really weren't doing it.
So James Robert actually did apologize?
He really didn't have much choice in that matter. But
the county attorney wasn't in there, was he?
No, the county.
Well, usually they would be on something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the county of attorney, I think, when I was doing my research,
Bill
there was
Sellers.
Out of the country.
Okay.
It was unavailable.
Okay.
But he later recommended that, well, maybe you ought to have a test case. But then the county commission decided, well, let's go slow on this. Let's get an attorney opinion from the state attorney general on mm-hmm. whether we can do this. But anyway, meanwhile, Harley Irwin had decided he's going to test this case himself. And so he called up James Victory, the mm-hmm. wheel tax officer, and arranged to be met on J.S. Young Road. Is that out in Smyrna somewhere?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And
just this side of Smyrna.
Just this side of Smyrna. And arranged to meet him there, and he'd be driving a car with the dealer plate mm-hmm. and to be cited to make the test case.
Ooh.
And so they did, and this was in June.
Uh-huh.
And then, it was going back and forth about, do we want to push this idea or we not want to push this idea? Because no other county, surrounding county, had a requirement that the wheel tax should be levied on the car dealers. And the district attorney general, Guy Dotson, said, well, there's some ambiguity in this, whether it was meant to tax them or not. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the state attorney general ruled that, yes, car dealers are susceptible to the tax. And Ken Snell, who was the spokesman, he was the Nissan
dealer.
He
was an attorney.
Who was also an attorney,
right.
Said, well, that's one man's opinion.
Which it is.
Which it is.
Yeah.
And they were still going to they're going to fight it.
Right.
And so, anyway, there was a hearing before Judge Buckner with Harley Irwin mm-hmm. When he was cited for this. Now, if you remember back in 1980, the car dealers were not flush with cash. It was not a good time for car sales, and they didn't need that. And someone else who didn't need that was Guy Dotson, the attorney general, who did not want to pick a fight with the car dealers.
Right.
And so when they had the appearance in court, Guy didn't argue that. He had Mose Melton, who is from Cannon County, do that.
Great guy.
Great guy.
Yes, sir. Loved him to death.
Uncle Mose.
Yes.
They argued it, and of course, as we all know, Judge Buckner went by the law, mm-hmm. and this was the an opinion that had been put out, and it looked like that he was going to have to find him guilty, and then you could tell that he really wasn't looking forward to making a decision mm-hmm. on this, and so then he asked General Dotson if he had anything to say, and he said, well, you know, this is still an issue which probably needs to be settled, legislatively and not in the court system as it is right now. And perhaps we can just defer this. And Judge Buckner said, yes, sir. And so that was deferred. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the car dealers lost. And then all the other car dealers around got to buy the wheel tax sticker. But I remember that as being one of the more, I'm not going to say fun times, but it mm-hmm. was certainly interesting to see the wheels of government go and James Robert work at his project.
Well, you know, taxes can be complicated, but I've never known one to be as complicated as the wheel tax because, you could only write them if they were mm-hmm. on county roads and mm-hmm. rather than on state roads and things like that. And it was so burdensome for the wheel tax officer because he was always being called at so-and-so doesn't have or a school. All the mm-hmm. teachers there are coming here from out of county, and they need to be paying for the wheel tax. It got to be such a problem, and thank goodness the wheel tax officer did not work for me. at one point they wanted him to, but then they thought, well, I'd be using them to work in law enforcement rather than the wheel tax.
And you would have.
Yes. But, you know, there's so many loopholes in just about any tax that you formulate unless you use a lot of judgment with it. And one of the problems that we've got now still is that some county court clerks will still allow people from Rutherford County to go over into their particular county and buy their tags, and which causes a great deal of problem. And we actually lose a lot of revenue. And if you remember when the wheel tax was first started, it was going to pay for the schools,
the high school
Riverdale
mm-hmm.
and Oakland. It was going to pay for them. And once it was paid off, then they're going to do away with the wheel tax. Well, it's just like any other tax. Once you get it started, it's hard to take it off the books. It really is. And you become dependent on it. And that is one of the things I never will forget. I had a friend of mine that I grew up with his son, and he was for the wheel tax as long as they took it off when all the payments on Oakland and Riverdale were taken care of. Well, guess what? They didn't. And he became a bitter enemy of everybody that said that passed that wheel tax. And that's what you get into with those things, because people don't forget it.
No, they don't. And it's an easy tax to levy.
It is. And now it's becoming... The sad thing about counties is that they don't have very many options when it comes to taxes. And the biggest burden always falls on the homeowners and of course the businesses too. But for the county, it's basically homeowners that pay the majority of the taxes.
It has to come from somewhere.
Yeah, it does have to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. But just like in your business, I mean, you run into obstacles all the time that affect you and maybe only you, and it becomes personal to you. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Because you're in the lamp business, which is I understand, is a very lucrative business these days.
You've been misinformed.
and you have, but look at it this way, Bill. You have very little competition. I mean, for the lamps that you sell, the high-grade lamps, and the ones, and you deal with a lot of people in the historical zones because your lamps will fit their particular needs.
I deal with whoever comes in the door, and we get a little bit of everyone, too. So I try to, my motto is, I have everything except what you want.
A lot of truth in that. Now, we were talking earlier off the air about the lamp business has taken a hit. I mean, just let's say furniture business.
The home furnishings
home
business.
Home furniture has really taken a hit over the last few years because of the economy. And how do you, have you seen any changes in it economy-wise as far as the way that furnishings are going right now?
I remember at I said, if I can just get through 2009, mm-hmm. I'll be all right. If I can just get through it. And then I got through it. And then I had to revise that. If I can just get through 2010, I'll be all right. And so it has really been drawn out. Business changed a lot. My sales changed, that dropped with a lot of people. The fixture people even took it worse than I did because of home construction. I really didn't have anything in the home construction side. But the fixture people took it in the shorts, and I know one had to close. But there has been a slow rebuild. And again, people in the retail industry will appreciate it, but you never know what's going to happen from day to day. Last month, the first part of the month was just awful. I don't know who put this rule out that you can't come in and spend anything? And then last week, well, I mean, they just filed right on in. And so a business picked up, and it started out this week okay. But it has been a slow recovery. And a lot of us are just hanging in there the best we can. Now, I need to say at this point that the Downtown Merchants Association mm-hmm. has done a very good job of promoting around here. And the president of that organization, Judy Goldie, who owns Trendy Pieces mm-hmm, there
right.
next to Shacklett's,
yes.
She is very vigorous, very keen, and has done a very good job of leading the organization. And we have a lot of interesting, virtually boutique shops in the downtown area. And the downtown area is very good for shopping. Because you're going to find stuff. It's not chain stores. It's not stuff you're going to find everywhere else. It's a good place to spend your money.
You know, I kind of think of the downtown area with all of these shopping centers that have spread out everywhere, and you can buy almost anything you want. But the truth is, you can't, because there are still some stores that. If you're looking for a certain type of quality in the things that you're trying to find, you can't find a better place to go than the downtown area. It's very unique. I mean, you're still in that historical zone, and it's mm-hmm. still just absolutely old Murfreesboro. But you guys, especially the small business owners, you're still out there with a great product. It's just that the people need to go and find you. But it's not like you're still going into a place that's just going to be selling that one particular item. All these stores are just chained all the way around, and you can find almost anything you want or you're looking for, and it's going to be of a high quality right there on the square.
You're right. You're right. I appreciate that.
But the small business owners have really, really taken a hit the last 5 years. And what people don't realize, we're dependent on those small business owners mm-hmm. to make it, because that's what primarily makes mm-hmm. up the businesses in Rutherford County.
And also all the people who are having silent auctions go to all the small independent businesses. Well, they go to everyone.
Uh-huh.
The silent auction business is also flourishing. People go by and want to get a donation for their cause, and I might make a few people upset here, but people who I've never seen before and will never see again come in and want a donation for their cause, which is worthy, I'm sure, but at some point, you have to realize you're not running a charity, that someone has to pay for that, and it's not tax deductible. Mm-hmm. It's just a gift. And oftentimes, I'd rather give them money than something nice. Now, I have to say that I do always try to come up with something that's appropriate. But that's another little aspect that we see around here of people and the small businesses, the donations.
Well, I think, of course, we've all been through that, I mean, as far as what you're talking about. But it, there's something about the downtown area that you just feel like that you're obligated to give to those things. You really are, as being part of it, because you still need all the friends that you can garner to make sure that this downtown area is not forgotten.
And you try to accommodate them, because the one thing you don't want to do is make them mad.
Oh, no.
So you.
But you were talking about earlier, and people don't realize what a special place the downtown area is. But when we were on 400 West Main Street, you were right. It was the center of the universe for Murfreesboro. Everybody would come in to the old jail mm-hmm. at 400 West Main Street, no matter what your occupation was, because you were in walking distance of just about everybody, and they wanted to know what was going on in the community, and it was the gossip capital of the world. I mean, there was no doubt about it.
And rumor mongers, too.
Yeah,
don't forget
that's
that.
That's right, rumor mongers. and you didn't even have to drive your car, because when you were working at the Daily News Journal, you would just walk over to the jail about two blocks, and, mm-hmm. and you could do all your business there. And people don't realize that what a small, great community we had back then.
It really was, and you don't always appreciate it then, but when I was going back and looking through the papers of 31 years ago, of all the stories that were in there about local events and of course, the police report, any time you start going back through a microfilm or whatever, going back looking at old materials, mm-hmm. It's hard to stay on track. Because you get sidetracked by so many things.
You get so interested.
I run across obituaries that oh, yeah, I remember him or her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was also, when I was looking, I saw, well, here's an old story about Chief Deputy Truman Jones nabbing a criminal on the way to work.
Oh, I remember that. He was a murderer and escaped from the penitentiary.
There were two guys that had stolen a car, mm-hmm. and I think that Jimmy Barrett was in pursuit.
Yeah.
And then you were coming the other way, and you heard it, so you...
So it blocked him in.
Yeah, and
he came out with it, tried to come out with a gun, but I thanks goodness I was a little bit quicker. And he the thing about it is these guys were bad guys. I mean,
yeah.
It was murder. They had stolen that car. I think
that's the second car they stolen.
Right, the mm-hmm. last one. So as we had put them in, one of them complimented us. He said, you know, I didn't realize that you guys were that much on the ball. I mean, your communication system is unbelievable. Well, all
and
it
you
was
had, what,
was
three?
Luck. Just ran into
you
it.
Had three cars in the whole county
yeah.
out.
He didn't realize what danger he was in, did he?
Yeah, every now and then you do luck up. There were things like that. And then something else which caught my eye was this was in 1980, the summer, we were having a drought. And when I saw the story, I started remembering it, and I read up about it. But when I was at the News Journal, it was one afternoon, mm-hmm. late, and this fella came in. You know, he was upset, and he wanted to tell the world about it. And the person who did the city beat, the water department, wasn't there. So, well, mm-hmm. I listened to him, and he had this $109 water bill. And again, this is 1980.
Ooh. Wow.
And the water department said, well, you've got a leak. And so he'd had plumbers out, can't find a leak, nothing. And there is no leak, but the water department says, well, yeah, you've got a problem, but you owe $109. And so anyway, I wrote that up, and I went over.
Now, was it CUD?
No, this is the city of Murfreesboro. And I talked to the person who handled that at the water department, and he said, well, it is a high bill, but he owes it. I mean, he used the water. He probably had a leak, a running commode or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we ran that story. And the next day, the phone started ringing off the hook of people who are having the same issue of these high water bills. And I know Ron Mezier was one of them. And he said, well, I know why they're doing that, because they're not reading the meters. Which they said, oh, yes, we read the meters, because he was expecting a high water bill because he had a pool that he had topped off, but he wasn't getting it. And then finally the meter readers had to come and ask his son where the meter was.
You're a kid.
No.
Now, you're telling me across the board all these meters were not being read?
I wouldn't say all of them, but there were some. And then other people called up saying they were having issues. It was Mac Urey, who was the who was the person in charge of that, said, well, you know, we've talked to the meter readers, and they're doing it. And then he said, well, sometimes they don't always get to read the meter. And so it was a guesstimate.
Well, now, didn't they do that every once in a while back then, that they would estimate it, but they would read it the next day?
Yeah, they would read it the next day.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another fellow who said, yeah, well, that's what they're saying. But they're also not doing it because the little knobs are broken off his meter. It couldn't be read.
Uh-oh.
And there's more.
Whoops. Okay, we're going to get back to that. And we're going to let you know that part of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar. And they're located in the Jackson Heights Plaza, and they're open for lunch and dinner Monday through Friday, starting at 11 a.m., and Sunday brunch at 10 a.m. They have 6 lunch choices for just $6. Blue Restaurant is also available for booking private parties and events by calling 410-3383, 410-3383. Enjoy their beautiful courtyard for lunch, dinner, or brunch, and catch the game on their big screen TV. It's a wonderful atmosphere for casual dining, watching sporting events, or enjoying baby grand piano music each Friday and Saturday night starting at 6:30. There really is something for everyone at Blue Restaurant and Bar located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar, owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Before the cold winter wind blows, be sure to take care of your car. Bring it by and let us check the battery and coolant. We'll do a complete car check, look at tires, wipers, and more to make sure it's safe for the road. That's Todd's Complete Auto Care. We're on Southeast Broad Street, 962-9050.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Good Neighbor Events from WGNS as we look ahead to this coming weekend. And there will be a household hazardous waste collection this coming Saturday. And that's at the City of Murfreesboro's facility at 4765 Florence Road. You know, that's where you get the mulch. This is for household hazardous waste. But keep in mind, this does not include oil-based paint. It will be from 8 until noon this coming Saturday morning. Again, the Household Hazardous Waste Collection is this coming Saturday morning from 8 until noon at the City of Murfreesboro facility over at 4765 Florence Road, the place where you get the mulch. The big thing to get across this coming weekend is when we go back to regular time. So when you go to bed Saturday night, set your clock back 1 hour. Oh, yes, the musical Annie is at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. That's now through November 20th. Showtimes Thursday through Saturday evenings at 7:30 and Sunday matinees at 2. Annie through November 2nd at the Center for the Arts, 110 West College in Uptown Murfreesboro. And there's another Annie over in Woodbury. This is Irving Berlin's Annie Get Your Gun. And that's Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2, now through November 19th. That's at the Art Center of Cannon County at 1424 John Bragg Highway. This reminder, you need to enter the Bicentennial Christmas Parade. All of the parade regulations and entry form are on the WGNS website. Look across the top blue bar and tap on Parade. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
We'll continue to see lots of sunshine and a few stray clouds this afternoon as we climb into the low 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Slight chance of rain developing late, low 46. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 70.
Did you realize we have 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99? Hi, this is Mike from Maple Street Grill. Debbie and I wanted to invite you down to try some of the exciting new menu items. 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99. Maple Street Grill, 109 North Maple Street in the historic downtown Murfreesboro area.
It's the Truman Show. A look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
With today's guest, Bill Patterson.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you?
And you're listening to John Blankenship and friends, including Avant Lane, Ken and Sarah Frizzell, Billy Yearwood, and Bill Patterson.
I was listening to Bill.
Yeah. Bill was doing a great job, but we've got to get him over to the Readable Mill. And, of course, that might pick his business up a little bit. Every Saturday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., you can go over and have the best breakfast you've ever had, and the atmosphere is unmatched anywhere. You have the Stones River circling around the old mill, which is 200 years old, or will be next year. And Tom Brady has done such a wonderful job. And when you go in, tell him thank you for restoring the mill, because it has meant so much to this community, Rutherford County and in Cannon County. And it's one of those things that it was a labor of love, and it still continues to be, because he loves for the people to come in and just have fellowship with him. And we're talking about a 15-minute drive out of Murfreesboro, and then you'll see the sign on John Bragg Highway. Turn left and go all the way into Readable, and there you will go into a place that you haven't been. Probably most of you are not old enough to have been in anything like that before. So take part in the history of Rutherford County and Cannon County, and try to be there 8 a.m. Saturday morning. Can't get up early. You've got all the way to 1 o'clock. You know, it's nice to have places like that that are still in our community. And
it's a very lovely spot.
It is. It is absolutely gorgeous. I think we have a couple of phone calls before we get into the rest of the story. We've got our ears on.
I don't like.
Now, caller, welcome aboard with Bill Patterson.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I heard earlier you were talking about our mayor up at Little L.A., and, you know, he passed away earlier this year. And there's a rumor going around that we need to have a new mayor. And I understand Larry Stewart and Mo Brown are going to be candidates. And just want to go ahead and tell Stewart that he's just got too many black marks on his resume, and just no use him even trying.
Well, you know, Larry Stewart would be a great candidate if it wasn't for Mo being his opponent. I don't think there's anybody in Las Casas that can beat Mo as a mayor, because mayor has so many duties to perform and has to be someone that's always on their toes and everybody loves, and that's got to be Mo.
That'd have to be Mo.
Yes.
I wanted to congratulate you, Truman. I picked up the radio there earlier, and I noticed you were still on the air, and that was kind of amazing to me.
It is.
After having Charlie and Freddie on the other day, I figured you wouldn't be on the air anymore.
I'm surprised I'm still on, too, to be, matter of fact, even before Charlie.
Well, Charlie gave everybody's phone number and everybody's name, so plenty of information.
Yeah, Charlie is the best PR man that I know of in Rutherford County.
That's right. Enjoy your show. Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Bill Patterson. Welcome aboard, caller.
Is that me?
That's you.
Huh?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, I just would like to talk to Bill Patterson. Bill?
Sir?
Could you tell the audience anything about your father?
Well, sure I could. Is this Jack?
It's Jack Johnson. Okay. He probably whipped your daddy in school, is what my guess.
Other way around.
Well, you know who this is.
Yeah, I do now. Yeah, Jack. Yeah. I heard
y'all have been, Truman, I understand from some of my, by the way, I'm home.
I'm glad.
And, so you can come by and tell me your problems. I just wanted Bill. Bill comes from a good family, kind of distant relatives, but his dad. And Bill and I, we used to go to funerals over in Lebanon, and he might talk to you about that and tell him about that. And
the comparison?
I just wanted to talk to y'all and say I'll listen the rest of it. Okay. See you, Bill.
Thank you, Jack.
And glad you're home, Jack.
Well, Jack's right. We are related. His grandmother and my great-grandmother were sisters from Lebanon, Hatchers. And we still have family over there. We go and visit whenever there was a funeral.
That's the way it is now.
Yeah. And it was, I think the story Jack is alluding to is pretty funny, but I don't think I can do it on the radio.
Uh-oh. You know, if that's the way it is, the best stories are the ones you can't recite over the radio. On the
because
air.
It was like they were setting each other up, and it was a great. Because we don't want to run anyone down,
no,
or any city down,
no.
But I wish you hadn't done that.
Wait a minute. Now, you were in the middle of running a part of the city down a minute ago.
Oh, the water department?
In fact, you haven't you haven't gotten to the rest of the story
yet. No, but Jack was so nice to call and say to talk about my father, but he was a character here, and in fact, I even have a Lee Pate story on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He and Lee Pate were golf partners.
Huh.
And as everyone knows, Lee Pate was somewhat unapproachable.
Yeah.
Especially by students and anyone your age. And,
by me.
Yeah. But he and my father got along real well, and the old man was not intimidated by him. Hmm. And so if there were a group of people around there in the pro shop or whatever, he'd see his chance. Then he'd go say and grab the coach around the shoulder and say, "Coach, tell us about the team." And
oh,
then
I
stand back and
that.
Laugh. And then Mr. Pate would boil a little bit and decline to say anything about the team, but he just loved to set him up for that.
You know, I could see your dad doing that.
Oh yes, he enjoyed it. But they were always good friends, and because you know there were other friends he had did not care for Mr. Pate, but that was all right. He liked him. He got along well with him. And
Mr. Pate told me later on, after his wife had passed, and have lunch with him every once in a while. He said that he regretted not. Some of the things that he had to go through to be the coach, he said he regretted some of the things that he had to do. And I think that's part of it, is the friendships that he may have missed out on. But, you know, the people that played for Mr. Pate, even though it was tough times playing for him, they still respected him and still loved him after all those years. And it's a shame that a lot of them did not have that opportunity to tell him that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, about the water meters, kept on getting calls and running stories, and the water department was reluctantly confessing that, well, we're going to start saying when it's going to be an estimated reading and the like. But so many different people. Sarah King had an issue. She owns apartments there on Lytle Street, the Collier House, and she'd gotten a crazy bill, and she called up about it, and she was told that, well, there was a car parked over the water meter, and so she said, meet me over there. And so Mac went over there to a meter, and the water meter was on the other side of a fence.
Oh, my gosh.
So it just couldn't get out of this hole. But I think the best story, at the corner of Tennessee Boulevard and Greenland Drive, it used to be Joe Beasley's Phillips 66.
Yes, remember.
And the city was widening Greenland and Tennessee, making a larger intersection. Mm-hmm. And during that time... they paved over the water meter. and then that was a rough one for the city to deny.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they became more forthright in reading the water meters and the bills. And so I think it was a cleansing experience, although they did take a mud bath in the process.
And knowing you enjoyed every minute of that, did you?
Well, you know, it's nice when ripe fruit falls in your lap. they just kept on coming. And so that was an interesting period.
Well, I know during that period, everything, I mean, you had to take everything as it was back then. You really did. And when things would go wrong, you had to admit that they went wrong, because people like you and some of the other reporters, I mean, you understand that everybody's human. You're going to make a mistake. But where you really start digging your grave is when you start trying to cover those things up. And then everything goes askew. But, you know, there were times then that even though things were going smooth, they were going a little bit too smooth, so you had to kind of ruffle a feather every once in a while, because that's what made life interesting, because you know there were so many interesting, colorful people back then.
Oh gosh, were there colorful people. That reminds me of another story.
The light bulb went off.
It did. What's his name? Alex Meacham.
Oh, yes.
He was a lawyer.
Yes. From Vanderbilt graduate.
Vanderbilt graduate,
yes.
In Smyrna.
Uh-huh.
And Alex, he was his own ebullient self, I guess. But he was...
Let me look it up in the dictionary and see what you
said. Oh, okay. he was his own man, and
yes.
He had a way of expressing himself, and he was defending this kid in circuit court. He had several burglary charges, and he was gonna plead guilty to them, to cop a plea, as they say. And he had several charges, and the sentences were going to run concurrently, that is together,
right?
But Alex had this kid on the stand. I couldn't have been 20 years old. And he had him here explaining how the sentences were going to run. And this, again, 19, you know, before Nissan, mm-hmm. when they had the Smyrna racetrack.
Right.
And he said, now, this is not like the races at Smyrna, where they got all the cars running around together, and they keep on running and challenging each other, but only one of them wins. That's not how it works. And anyway, he was getting in this long, involved story about...
And Wiley Holloway, I guess, is listening to
it. And it was Steve Daniel.
Okay, Steve Daniel.
And
okay.
And so, anyway, it was getting... he kept on getting this story about how all the sentences were all going to count, even though only one wins. But the court reporter, Ms. Duke, I believe it was, mm-hmm. she was there taking the notes, and then she just sort of turned around and had this weird expression on her face. Guy Dodson, the attorney general, put his legal pad up in front of his face to hide it.
Yes.
And Judge Daniel was sitting up there at the bench with his hands together over his mouth. And so he couldn't, like this. I guess sure everyone on the radio can see me. But you couldn't see his mouth. Only you could see was his eyes. And he was looking straight ahead. Mm-hmm. And... And the kid in the witness box, was his eyes were huge. He wouldn't listen to all this. And so he got through with his explanation. Mm-hmm. And then Judge Daniel was going over it with him to make sure he understood. Now, he said, now, you are pleading guilty to these charges. Is that right? And he says, yes, sir. But I didn't do it. And so... Well, they threw that out and set a trial date.
poor Alex is one of these people. Maybe he was just too smart, but he would end up with some of the craziest cases of anybody I've ever seen.
He had some
and
Lulus.
It was hard to make any sense out of them.
He had some Lulus, and you know, there was a story. I didn't see this, but my father told this story about in the courthouse way back when. You had the general sessions on one side and the circuit court on the
right.
other. And there was a passageway in between.
Right.
And
the
people,
hallway. Yeah.
Yeah. And the people would congregate there and talk. And Alex was there talking to several people. And they were, you know, just carrying on a conversation. And Alex liked to put his hands in his pocket
yes.
and jingle his,
yes.
his change and stuff. And every now and then he'd jerk his foot. And
often.
Wendell Rowland was standing there in that group, and Alex sort of jerked his foot. It kicked Wendell in the shin so hard that he cried. And he never knew he did it.
People don't realize that how loose everything was at the courthouse back then. I mean, it couldn't work that way because you got all those hundreds of people filling the halls, and it seemed like each identity seems to be lost. But I mean, people would do... I never will forget Norris Lover would pull more jokes than anybody I've ever seen. And I had a guy that was famous for running. Every time you'd get him, he would find a way to escape. And I was taking him to court that morning. And I had him on the second floor of the courthouse, and Norris looked at him and said, I bet you that's one deputy that you can't outrun. And guess what he did?
Boom!
Here we go, running across the courthouse yard, and I have to tackle him on the street. And you can imagine what kind of choice words I had for Norris that
day. I suspect.
All right, well, I'll let you know that part of this show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive at 2006 North Main Street in Shevaville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, that's a place to go. Just about a 20-minute drive. Before you get into Cheville, it's on their left, on your left as you go in. And if you would like to call them, it's 1-800-264-6800, toll free. Or you can pull them up on the internet, pirtlehowerton.com. But I tell you, the best thing to do is just take the ride down there. Enjoy some of the great people that work there. Have a cup of coffee with them. Enjoy the fellowship and just kind of look around. And I guarantee you, if you stay long enough, you'll find just the vehicle you'd love to have.
Stop.
stop by Southeastern Tire Service before you head off for your winter travels this year. We're a full-service repair facility, so we can get your car in tip-top condition before you head out. Also, from October 31st until November 28th, when you buy four Michelin tires, you'll get a $70 prepaid MasterCard through mail-in rebate. That's at Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto. Southeastern Tire Service, serving Murfreesboro and Rutherford County since 1950. Visit southeasterntireservice.net.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
With today's guest, Bill Patterson.
And we're back on the air with you. We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Bill Patterson.
Well, first I want to say, and I have a paralyzed vocal cord, so be glad because I usually use 10 words when one will do. But anyway,
<It's Mrs. Branson.
laughs> you've got one of my favorite people on today, and he will recognize me when I...
Oh, I know who you are, Mrs. Branson.
I wanted you to tell him the story of when Bill and Carl went in the Navy and went out to dinner for the first time. You remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
I thought that was pretty good.
Well, it is a good story, and Mrs. Branson, Lillian Branson, is also one of my favorite
She's
persons.
She's a sweet lady. She really is.
And no one makes a better peach pie.
Do you still make peach pies, Mrs. Branson?
I'm going to have to say yes, because I hadn't given Bill one lately. And he'll get after me.
Well, he looks like he's been missing a few.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, I'll tell that little... Well, actually, you could tell it, but I guess your voice is not as what it needs to be. But my father and Coyle Branson mm-hmm. were in naval flight training together, and I think even before they went to Jacksonville, of course, this is during the war, mm-hmm. They had been going through aviation officer candidate school or something in Atlanta. I believe that's where it was. And so they had gone out to dinner. Hmm. And they looked at the menu. And so my father, who had a generous appetite, says, "I'll have the steak for two." And then Carl said, "Well, okay, well, that's what I'll do. And I'll just have Bill's." And Danny said, "No, that's mine." He's having two steaks.
Bless his heart.
But he was like that.
Oh, I remember. He had the best sense of humor of anybody. And it was just fun. I wish people were still like your dad, mm-hmm. my dad, and all the others that just really made this just a strong community.
Well, he did. He had a good attitude, and he always liked to say something, be nice to someone, and be positive, and people on the street. And
you didn't get anything like that from him, did
no,
you?
No.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
But for one instance, someone you know, Lynn McBroom.
Yes.
Because she worked at Murfreesboro Bank for ages.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to say that Lynn always looked nice.
She did.
She dressed well, and mm-hmm. she just presented well. And I remember seeing Lynn in there, and she says, "You know, I haven't seen your father in a while, and I need a compliment."
But see, we're going back to the square again.
Yeah.
You don't have to drop in these businesses just to buy something. You drop in to enjoy the fellowship with all those around mm-hmm. there that continues that circle that we've been maintained.
Oh, Daddy loved to hang out at the men's shop with Buck Devers.
I used to go in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he'd make his rounds there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he'd go my mother used to say that when they were first married, and she was looking for him, she first called, I think it was the Southern restaurant or something like that. Anyway, it was a restaurant.
Right on the square. Is that the
one? No, I think it was out on College Street a little bit. Anyway, I forget the name of that restaurant, but she mm-hmm. said that she would call there first.
Uh-huh.
And then if he wasn't there, she would call Roger Sanders, mm-hmm. Super Service at Tire Place. And then if she didn't get in there, she'd try the Bucket Factory. So he liked to socialize.
I know we're running out of time, but one thing that we were going to discuss, and we never did get around to it, was the Cedar Bucket that has been restored.
And they did a very nice job.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's the closest I've ever been to the Cedar Bucket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it was, by the time I knew about it, it was long gone. So, but it is a nice emblem of the city. I guess we need to get it emblazoned.
And it goes back
to
your family.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
your family owned the Cedar Bucket mm-hmm. at one time.
And that's right.
It's amazing that just a fellow like, I never realized when you were on the beat and you were writing for the Daily News Journal that all of the roots that you have here in Murfreesboro and your family did, because I guess I never did even think about it.
Well, it didn't,
because we did have a good friendship. I mean, we really did, which was unusual for me because I usually did not get along with the reporters.
Oh, Truman, you get along with everyone.
No, I didn't.
All right. All right, you win.
I get along with Brian in here.
Well, you have to.
But now I'm not a reporter, but I am on the air.
You're a radio personality.
Am I a traitor, Brian?
What a switch.
Yeah, it is a switch. I mean, if I had known that you guys were having all this much fun all these years, I would have jumped ship a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah, I would have.
He wouldn't have been nicer. He wouldn't have.
Would you have been nicer to us a long time ago?
The
media types.
Well, I probably would have.
You were all right to the newsies.
Was I?
You remember what you used to do to poor old Randy O'Brien?
Yeah, poor Randy. he went over to WMTS? Is that what it is?
Well, it's WMOT.
WMOT mm-hmm. at the university. Uh-huh. But I have met. I could do a sole story. I could do 5 hours in a row on my dealing with the media in all the years that I was over at the sheriff's office, because it was very interesting, and there was a lot of fun things happen. You know, just like we dress one of our guys up as the bad guy. They were all going to take his picture when he went to the courthouse, and they didn't realize that we had a detective with a sack over his face, and they thought that's who he was. And when he took it off, I was a very unpopular guy.
And you enjoyed it.
Hey, you got to have fun no matter what
you have to have fun.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to jump ship today and let you know that tomorrow we have Melissa Tuggle, and she's really a great lady. We're going to talk about her time in the helicopters and at Medevac. And then we're going to have, you're going to love this, on Friday, Bill, we're going to have John Whittemore and Jim Simpson, and we're going to talk about the history of moonshining at Short Mountain in Cannon County. And that goes back a number of generations.
My wife's grandfather defended them all.
I think everybody in Cannon County defended them all. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.